Okay, we're continuing. So once we try to internalize the words of the Ramban and Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei and Parshat Shmot, combined with the very elaborated explanation and perspective that the Baal HaTanya gives us in Shara Yichud VeEmunah, as we saw, then we start realizing that the creation, HaBriyah, he b'matzav shel hitavut matmedet. The creation is in a state of ongoing, evolving state. And as a result, the world, as we said, is alive and dynamic and fresh and breathing at and being generated and created at every moment. And the fact that we don't pick up on it means that we're stuck with our mind at the outer layers, the outer layer and outer shield and outer garment that gives us a sense, which really is an optical illusion, as if the world is set, rigid, fixed, and old and static. Okay? So that all goes back to these sources that we have seen. Once we take this into consideration, so then we start going back to the way that Ramban began the piece of HaKadosh Baruch Hu introducing him as himself as Eheke Asher Eheke, or I will be who I will be, meaning let go of thinking of me in any fixed manner, but rather I will be who I will be is a phrase which possibly one can phrase it and understand it on multiple levels, but in any case, it leaves our perception and our knowledge, hence name of God, open and unfixed and unoverly defined. And that is one of its expressions is the way the Ramban opens up that piece. If you go a few lines back, I will be to you the way you will be with me. And that means leave me open and fresh and dynamic, meaning that your human perception of me, God, should not come with a false expectation of finding something fixed and rigid and defined, but relate to me openly means I change, I'm alive and I'm dynamic, and that's what we mean when we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Chai, Modeh Ani Lefanecha Melech Chai. True, there's another layer, if you wish, a higher or a deeper place of Elokut, which is Melech Chai VeKayam, where that's already HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond any change. As it says in Sefer Malachi, Ani Hashem Lo Shaniti, as we read on from Sefer Malachi and Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol, I think, Lo Chlitem, I Hashem, I don't change and I'm beyond change. That's on another level of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Kayam, but Chai, which has more of an alive, dynamic implication, when God is busy relating to His world, the world is a world which is constantly evolving, and therefore His relationship with the world is constantly in a state of evolving. In fact, Rabbeinu Bechaye, and some of you may have remember that we've learned this piece in the past. Rabbeinu Bechaye has a beautiful, very deep piece on the pasuk of Yadata Hayom Vashavota Elevavecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim B'Shamayim Imal V'Al Haaretz Mitachat Ein Od. Maybe I'll send it out also, so you can see it in front of you. Kedai very much to learn this piece inside BeYoter Amkut. But in any case, Vashavota Elevavecha. I'm skipping the opening lines. At some point, Rabbeinu Bechaye says, "Mazeh v'hashavot ha'el levavecha." Omer Rabbeinu Bechaye, I'm reading inside. "Umipnei she'en inyan ha'elohut, she'asigenu adam besichlo b'tchilat machshavto." Being that elokut, godliness, is not that which a person can comprehend at the beginning of his thinking. Meaning, whatever we are able to comprehend of elokut is that which comes as a result of extended contemplation, meditation, and reflection. Therefore, lachen izkir bo lashon v'hashavot ha'ele levavecha. Ma zeh v'hashavot ha? To bring it back or to keep bringing it back into your heart. Omer Rabbeinu Bechaye, ke'adam shemitbonen b'davar, ויצטרך לחזור ולהתבונן. As somebody who's reflecting, when a person, the very reflective state of mind is in a sense ongoing and dynamic and almost circular, I would say, as somebody who is reflecting upon something means he keeps going back to it over and over and over to try to penetrate into the inside of it. And that's what I mean in terms of being circular. And that's why it's called v'hashavot ha'elevavecha. Again, the lashon of the Rabbeinu B'chaya, ki adam shemitbonen b'davar. V'yitzterech lachzor v'lehitbonen. The very state of mind of hitbonenut, of contemplation, is having to remain for a while on a topic. That means I'm constantly going back to it and to reflecting upon it and trying to penetrate into the essence that's hiding behind the outer garments of that given thing that I'm reflecting upon. And he continues and expresses this in the Psukim in Sefer Malachim, where Eliyahu Anavi is running away, escaping Achav and Izebel. And there it says, Kenyan Shematsimi Be'Eliyahu, famous Psukim, some of you may be familiar with them. He's in the desert and he has this encounter with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but that which comes as a result of a process. And the process is beautifully and interestingly and mysteriously described in the Psukim as Lo Beruach Hashem. God was not in the wind or in the spirit. V'achar ha-ruach ra'ash. Lo b'ra'ash Hashem. And after the ruach, there was noise or an earthquake. Lo b'ra'ash Hashem. V'achar ha-ra'ash esh. And after the ra'ash, there was fire. Lo b'esh Hashem. Hashem was not in the fire. And then finally, v'achar ha-esh, kol d'mama daka. And after the fire, there was a subtle sound of silence. What does this mean? Masbir Rabbeinu B'chaye, that this process is describing the search for God. Our comprehension of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is an ongoing process of Inyan HaKetuv, Omer Rabbeinu B'chaye. Ki kshiyachshov alav ha'adam, mahu? Meaning when a man tries to figure out who is or what is God, im hu ruach, o ra'ash, o esh, is God ruach? Possibly God is ra'ash, possibly God should be thought, and I should put it in my mind, in the category of fire. Yachzor v'yistor, says Rabbeinu B'chaye, yachzor v'yistor binyan machshavto, b'kol ma sheyachshov alav. Meaning in our language, a person creates a havamina in his mind of what God is, who God is, in what category should I relate to him, what should I compare him to. But each attempt to do that brings about another time where I need to soter, I need to dismantle, I need to take apart my havamina. B'chol ma sheyachshov alav, yechzor v'yistor binyan machshavto. B'chol ma sheyachshov alav, I created a mental structure in my mind, or a category, and a resemblance in my mind of who I should compare God to, some kind of a mental structure, and that mental structure I need to destroy, I need to take apart, I need to dismantle it. Binyan v'stira, binyan v'stira. Terms which we're familiar with from Hilchot Shabbat, for example. Binyan v'stira bekelim, bonei almanat listor, etc. But in any case, so here, mentally, there is a process of binyan v'stira, binyan v'stira. Now, he doesn't say this to Rabbeinu B'chaye, but I suspect that between the lines, let's not forget that the pasuk is all starts off with Yadata Hayom v'hashavot ha'elevavecha. Yadata Hayom means I suspect if I insert into the Hayom the words of Rabbeinu B'chaye over here that every day I construct in my head some kind of a mental construction of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but then at night I take it apart. He doesn't say this, but this is what I understand of it. And after all the havaminas, all the thoughts, all the comparisons, all the mental categories I create in my mind, lo yimatze ki im ha'alama ublima. After all those thoughts, all I can find is ha'alama ublima, meaning a concealment, and a prevention of me being able to go forward and to chap the actual essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who will always remain beyond my ability to comprehend, as many of our sources, all our sources teach us. As it says in the Zohar, the famous line, V'let machshava tfisa beiklal, the human thinking is not able to comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'zehu, and that's the final stage there, V'achar ha'esh kol d'mama daka, and after the fire, there's a subtle sound of silence. כעניין שנזכר בספר יצירה, בלום פיך מלדבר ולבך מלהרהר. When you approach הקדוש ברוך הוא, you get to a place where you have to block and stop your mouth from speech and your heart from wondering and thinking. That's where you get to a wall. And that, in our language, that's the beyondness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've touched upon it. In any case, so here in Rabbeinu Bechaye also, we see the need for man to learn to, from a very advanced and mature place, to let go of my need to be able to box and define and compare and resemble HaKadosh Baruch Hu to anything or any category of what I'm familiar with, which is basically what we say in davening, in the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, Umi dome lach, Umi dome lach, who, which means no one, compares to you. You're not comparable. There's no category, mental category in my mind which I can put you into. Just to explain what I mean by mental category, the way human understanding, human perception works is that we have mental categories in our head, and when we come across something, we automatically, we're wired to put that item that comes our way into some kind of a pre-existing mental compartment or category in my head of what it is. If an object comes my way or a creature comes my way which doesn't fit into any of my pre-existing categories, I'm bewildered. I don't know what to do with it. So when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my natural inclination is to do what I do with everything else. I try to find a category in my head that's there from childhood, from later on in my mental development. And I learn, sometimes the hard way, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind categorization and beyond labeling and definition. And it's in my advanced stage in that mental search where I'm able to let go of it. That's where I really find myself in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this letting go of the need to have God as any of something which is fixed is a very important stage in developing a mature Amidah Lifnei Hashem. So all these sources come together. But in any case, what it means is that once I live in a world which I understand that I'm not seeing it correctly, I understand and I internalize and I mentally train myself to not be, not give in and not to become subjugated and not to become a slave to the optical illusion, which seemingly so, the whole or most of the world seems to, yes, be influenced by it. And that is that the way the world comes across to us at first glance as made up of realities or creations or being or objects and creatures which are set and fixed is a profound and deep and illusion, an optical illusion that we suffer from, as opposed to going beyond it and contemplating and penetrating into the deeper dimension beyond this and cracking this garment in a way that I start seeing in front of my eyes a world of that, again, modern physics can somewhat open up my eyes to the realization that behind that outer shell of a fixed, set, static, old world, there's a fresh, alive, dynamic, living spring of a world which is constantly gushing forth life, where, as I said already, creation is not an event that was. Creation is a realm of reality which is always there at the depth of everything. And my job is to try to tap into that place. Therefore, once I do tap into that place, then I let go of relating to object as fixed. Above all, my perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I learn to let go of any fixed garment or appearance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But then as a result, and this is where it really starts affecting me, and the question of how much of a free person and how fresh of a person I am really comes forth, it trickles down the entire ladder of life. Because the moment I realize and I really switch my perspective and I learn to look at the world with a different set of eyes, thanks to the Ramban and thanks to the elaborated pieces from the Bala Tanya, which I, as I said, I'm saying again in brackets, kedai to learn them inside properly, all 12 chapters. It takes time, but as a result, you learn, you come out of those 12 chapters with a new set of eyes where the world all of a sudden seems to you very different, alive and dynamic and fresh, where nothing in the world is subjugated or is enslaved by the past, but rather alive in the present moment where everything is fresh, as its source of life is fresh. The source of life, the Ma'ayan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Mekor Ma'im Chayim, Katuv B'Sefer Yirmiyahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's the fresh source of living fresh water constantly. And if I tap into that place and I live that way, I become such a person. Al zeh katuv bepirkei avot, in the perek kinyan Torah, in the sixth perek, one of the wonderful things that happens to a person who learns Torah lishma is kedai to see that inside the first mishnah in perek shishi. V'naasa kema'ayan mitgaber kol alomed Torah lishma zochel dvarim arbe. One of those things that I evolve and change and become is Na'asa k'ma'ayan ha-mitgaber. I become like a living spring. When I tap in the world and my perception of the world is that of a living spring, as a result, at some point, I become a living spring. I become a fresh person whose thoughts are always alive and fresh in the present now in a way that yesterday doesn't define for me the way I think and my understandings of anything in the world. Anything, including or mainly Torah, doesn't enslave me, but rather today, on Monday, I can think of things in a way that Sunday doesn't limit me. My understandings and my definitions always remain open and open to subject to change. And my definitions are always open-ended. As I always recommend to guys in yeshiva, first of all, I recommend this to myself. Meaning, whatever we understand, such as of Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, or Cherut, or Zman Cherutenu of Pesach, if this is the topic of our discussion, should not limit whatever we get to this year, should not limit us and when we come to back to it on the spiral of time next year. And hopefully last year gave us more insight and depth, but not in a way that limited our mind from thinking in a fresh way about things today. Okay, so Torah, Notena Torah is alive and dynamic. Torah Hashem is alive and dynamic, and it's always producing new fruit and new thoughts, especially coming forth in Torah Sheba'al Peh, which is constantly the reproductive part of Torah, which is forming fruit and Chidushei Torah, which are an ongoing flow, which is the content of Na'asa K'mayana Mitgaber. And a person who taps into this place experiences it as such. And then furthermore, we go into the world of our relationships and the world of our midot. If indeed I see myself when I look in the mirror as some that even though at first glance I come across to me in the mirror as a fixed body, we know biologically today how much that's not true. But how much more it's already, and this is already on a biological level, that's much more easy to pick up on a much larger set of numbers than in what I was mentioning before in terms of particle physics. But rather, we know that within a year, the entire human body regenerates itself. And I remember once reading, and I quote this a lot, that within 30 days, the entire outer layer of our body, which is what we see of ourselves or others, which is our skin, regenerates itself. Meaning a month ago, all our skin that we see was not here. What we see is totally fresh, new skin. And so it is with our entire body. I don't remember the exception. But in any case, the vast majority of our body goes through a complete regeneration, which means every moment cells in our body are dying and new cells are being generated and born. And the fact that I look in the mirror and I see a fixed, and I think of myself as a fixed physical being, is a mistake. It's an obstacle of an optical illusion that I suffer from. And as a result, I fall into a place of psychologically relating to myself as fixed and rigid and set and static and old, as opposed to realizing that indeed my entire body and definitely my soul, my neshama, my mind, my thoughts, my feelings are fresh and dynamic. Nothing about the way things used to be have to at all set the tone for the way things can be from now on. I'm not stuck and I'm not enslaved by conditioned behavior of the past. Not even conditioned behavior of childhood. It's very, very hard. It's the way I've been wired to think. But if I tap into these mental places that we're talking about, I can gradually feel that I'm freeing myself and really, truly becoming a Ben Chorin from old patterns of thought and old responses and old reactions, which I became automatically so, wired so, to respond the way I always used to respond. And when I really work on this, I start realizing that when I change my mental state and my world of my thoughts, the world of my midot and my behavior changes as a result. Because even though for 20 years or for 30 years, I've been reacting in the same way because I couldn't get stuck from reacting to certain situations which press my buttons, because of things that I grew up with, or different comments that I got from a parent, or from a teacher, or from a friend, or from a wife, in a way that I responded in a bad way, I become a person who's fresh and present and alive and dynamic in a way that I'm not anymore a slave to my behavior once upon a time, or to my thinking once upon a time, or to my reacting aspects of my personality once upon a time. So then my entire relationship with myself, which is the beginning of all my relationships, enters into a world of freshness, living in the present, dynamic and alive. And then as a result, I become indeed Ben Chorin from my own very self. I become free from enslaved to old levels of self of once upon a time, of yesterday, of a year ago, of many years ago, of childhood, and who knows how far back, be even before that, we may go, as a result of living into a world where I tap into the fresh Bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Ma'aseh Bereshit, and I am part of that Ma'aseh Bereshit. And if I just tap into the way I'm made at the depth of my being, I start experiencing the ongoing spring of life that's radiating through me. And new energies and thoughts and feelings are infusing me at every moment with freshness. And that gives a lot of koch and motivation and optimism for today, tomorrow, and all days to come. My relationships change as a result. I don't have to continue relating to my spouse or to friends or to parents or to family members. Even in relationships which were difficult and complicated till now, the fact that things were that way, that doesn't mean that they have to continue being that way. And I'm not necessarily going to be able to change other people, but the way I respond to them and react to them and relate to them can enter into new places if I just learn to tap into this mental place of living and drawing from the true reality of the present, as opposed to being stuck in the thought that the world always will remain the same and relationships are always doomed to remain as they always were, with all the problematic energies that might be there. This is where a person really becomes Ben Chorin, not only from society, as we spoke about in last time, but I become a free person, free of myself. And there's no greater, deeper place of internal freedom other than that. And the implications of that will then come with no end. There's multiple expressions of this type of living and this type of thinking and this ability and this freshness of my world, of my midot. In Shas, I can give a few examples, and then we'll start wrapping up. There's the famous Gemara, that one of my favorite Gemarot in Shas. I think it was Rabbi Zeira, who one of the Amoraim, before he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel, he fasted for 40 days so that he gets to forget Talmudah Shel Bavel and make himself a fresh vessel to receive Torah, Talmudah Shel Eretz Yisrael. Which means that if he is going to make Aliyah and come to Eretz Yisrael and land at Ben Gurion Airport with overly rigid and overly fixed Talmud Bavli, Babylonian Torah thinking, he will not be able to take upon himself new perspectives, and it's going to limit him, and he's going to be prevented from being able to reach new places because he did not empty himself from the old understandings and that he has accomplished and evolved into when he was in Bavel. Another expression of it is the famous Gemara with Rav Shimshon HaAmsoni, who used to darshan kol ha'etim shebatorah until he came to et Hashem Elokecha Tira, and he saw, you know, et, as his approach was, et kol ha'etim are coming to be merabe, they're coming to add something. So how can you add something more onto HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What there could there be to et? What can you add to yirat Elokim, et Hashem Elokecha Tira? So he reached the conclusion that all the project that he had in darshaning the etim batorah must be therefore wrong, and he let go of them. Omerat Hagemara, keshem shekibel sachar al hadrisha, kach kibel sachar al haprisha. Just the same sachar he got for darshaning all the etim, he got that sachar for being able to let go. And that mental ability to let go is something that deserves sachar. The Gemara continues and says until Rabbi Akiva comes and says et Hashem Elokecha Tira lerabot talmidei chachamim. That's already a different discussion. But in any case, we see that that flexible personality, the flexible world of the midot of an Amora who can go and invest in Artana and invest in learning in a certain way. But when the reality at that some point shows him that there was a mistake, so he's not going to overly hold on to his approach and to his school of thought just because it's fitting for him. If the truth seems otherwise, so he is able to let go. And he gets sachar for that letting go. Another expression of that is another favorite Gemara in Shas of mine, the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah. I quote this often, of Rabbi Chisda, who was told his Talmidim one day, and Shir, that he's afraid to tell them something because if he tells them, they're going to all pick up and leave. And in the end, he tells them, what does he tell them? He tells them that once you learned a lot of Torah by one Rav, at some point, you should pick up and go and learn Torah by another Rav. And the Gemara Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Zayin, Yud Chet, Yud Tet, I don't remember the Daf exactly, goes and darshans it from the Psukim at the beginning of Sefer Tehillim. V'aya ke'et shatul al palgei mayim. Omeret HaGemara, shatul velo natua. Meaning he's implanted in a way that he can be transplanted somewhere else. And indeed, Rav Chisda's Talmidim pick up and go, and they learn from another Rav. And I think it's the Maharsha possibly there that asks, so then why did he do that? He lost his Talmidim, says the Maharsha, because that's the truth. If this is what he believes is the truth, so then he's going to do that, even though he means losing his Talmidim. But what's the deep message that we're getting from that? Don't be overly fixed and rigid, even in terms of the source of Torah that you receive from. You got a lot of Torah for one Rav. Time to move on and receive from somebody else, not to get stuck and limited in a one finite human mind. Be fresh and alive to think of things in new perspectives as you move on. Of course, the Gemara there and the Mefarshim, one has to learn it inside. HaGemara mechaleket shama, what type of learning? Where do you have a kavua and a set Rav Muvhak, and what do you go on to learn from others, as Rav Chisda taught his Talmidim? How to apply that is a question, but in general, the concept is that a person's connection to Torah and drawing from Torah is meant to be something which is constantly alive and changing, dynamic and fresh. So basically what this all comes down to, or what all this comes up to, so to speak, is the production of an internal world of a fresh life of bracha. And if we mentioned already before what the tour says about Pesach that corresponds to Avram Avinu, Pesach is meant to bring out of us our Avram Avinu genes and Avram Avinu personality and identity and midot. When I use the term bracha now to sum up everything that we spoke about now at this stage, is the fact that, and we've mentioned this in Tefillah Shiurim recently, that in the opening three psukim in Parshat Lech Lecha, in the opening words of Hashem to Avram Avinu, the term bracha appears five times. Va'avarcha mevarcheka va'kalelcha or v'nivrechu becha kol mishpechot ha'adamah V'heyeh bracha. Avram Avinu is promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if he lives the life of Lech Lecha, he will become the bracha of the world. Bracha, by definition, means, as a ma'ayan shemitbarech, a state of life in which life is constantly being blessed, constantly being increased, which is what bracha literally means. Bracha, tosifet, hosafa, od, more, increase, add, unto what actually is in front of me. So Avram Avinu is equivalent to bracha. He becomes the bracha of the world. He becomes a ma'ayan mitgaber, of an ongoing, never fixed and never rigid flow of life that's constantly alive and changing. Well, of course, is an expression of one's chirut, one's freedom. Avram Avinu freed himself from the Mitchila avdei avodah zara yu avoteinu, as we said in Haggadah Shel Pesach just a few days ago, and freed himself to think independently and not to be limited and enslaved by society in a way that produced within him internal freedom of a person who's fresh and alive and living a life of a bracha, drawing life constantly from a ma'ayan mitgaber, from a living spring which brings freshness into every avenue of our life. These are the concepts, and one has to think how to develop them and how to implement them and how to insert them into his life. And the truth of the matter is, our system is designed in a way to help us do this. Because this freedom that Pesach is meant to bring us to, this chirut, this internal chirut, which allows me to become ben chorin from society, and a ben chorin from my very self, and ben chorin from my past, and ben chorin from difficulties in relationships in the past, and ben chorin from oldness and from internal dust and fatigue and static thinking into a world of freshness. This internal chirut that's supposed to spill over every aspect of my life is not, we don't let go of it once Pesach is over. Rather, we're meant to take it with us into the very intricate world of the specific midot of Sfirat HaOmer, which, as we all know, Bezalat Hashem, we'll talk about it more in the future weeks, the 7 times 7 weeks and days of the 49 days of Sfirat HaOmer correspond to the 49 different specific midot that make up the human personality. Chesed, with all of its 7 different aspects of Chesed, and Midat HaGvura, and so on and so forth, all of my Midot are then meant to be opened up into the world of this Chirut that Pesach brings me to. And that's the next stage after Pesach. Inserting into all the avenues of my life, into all 49 different avenues of the Midot of my life, the world of Chirut, where each and every one of those Midot is able to draw fresh, alive life, water, from a living spring in a way that it's free, a free camper. Each one of the 49 midot of mine becomes a ben chorin. My chesed is a ben chorin. I do chesed because I choose to, because it's the right thing. Like Avram Avinu, because I saw that God created the world out of chesed. I don't do chesed because I have to do chesed. I don't do chesed because of any psychological needs to do chesed. I do chesed not because I'm dependent upon it, or because I need to prove myself, or I need to show myself off to society. I do it from a place of absolute freedom, thought, consciousness, and conviction and truth that I live by, just like my great-grandfather Avram Avinu. And so it is with all my midot. However intricate they may be, and it's in a highly intricate world. In recent years, some good books have been written on it. Could I define them and to get a little trained in what it means, 7 times 7 midot, each world of a mida, which is comprised of all the different avenues that go into that mida. But in any case, so to speak, washing each and every piece of my midot with the fresh waters of freedom. It brings freedom and from any psychological needs and social needs, and puts my internal world of my midot into a world of free choice. Okay, we can't elaborate now. Maybe over the course of the weeks of Sfirat HaOmer, we'll elaborate and we'll bring examples to it. But whether it's my kindness and my love and my giving and care for the other, and midat mayim, midat achesed, or my midah of being able to say no and to create boundaries and be self-disciplined and have self-restraint, as my midat hagvuran brings out of me, and so on and so forth. All of my midot, my endurance, and my humility, and my ability to bond and connect, are all, and my humility, are all midot that are drawing life from the chirut, which where all those midot came from originally, which means all Sfirat HaOmer trickles down from Zman Chiruteinu. Bezrat Hashem, over the next weeks, we'll elaborate on it. But to wrap up these couple shiurim, I'll just say as such. Once you ask Pesach, Me'ayin Bata, and once you ask Pesach, Le'an Ata Holech, we see that Pesach is at the centerpiece of a process that began in Purim and continues all the way to through Sfirat HaOmer to Chag HaShavuot, and maybe, perhaps we'll discuss this more over the next few weeks. But what I mean on the level of what we spoke about, that my internal freedom that I'm supposed to produce as the centerpiece of this process on Zman Chiruteinu and Pesach begins 30 days earlier, where I meant to crack my systems of my da'at and reach a level of Ad Lo Yada as a preparation for Pesach. Ad Lo Yada means I'm able to go beyond my regular ways of perceiving things, my regular ways of connecting to things, my regular ways of identifying with things, which is my mental wiring and my mental conditioned behavior. And somehow the Ad Lo Yada of Purim is meant to crack that and to start a process of refreshing my mind and my avenues of thought and my emotional world and the way I relate to things and the way I expect things to be. Letting go of a lot of that begins in Purim, continues in Pesach with Zman Chiruteinu, is then meant to, and that's the hard work of inserting it into these challenging weeks of Sfirat HaOmer, where my midot are meant to come under the magnifying glass of Chirut, of a Ma'ayana Mitgaber, of freshness, and look at it with a new fresh eye and try to activate it in a way that's drawing from real true life of choice, B'chalta B'chaim, and not from places of enslavement to either my past or to society. So all this produces me ultimately to as a ben chorim ve'en acha ben chorim ela mi she'osek b'Torah, and I can come to Chag HaShavuot with many more layers of chirut in a way that Torah really indeed becomes my ma'ayana mitgaber. We should all be zochet to take advantage of these wonderful times of whatever is left yet of Zman Chiruteinu and Shvi Shel Pesach and Kriyat Yam Suf, and then all the world of our internal midot of Sfirat HaOmer, and build ourselves up to become true bnei chorim in front of Hashem, to giving Him much nachat, and in a place of freshness in our relationship with Him. Chag Sameach to everybody.